So a number of years ago, Pastor Joel and I were serving in two different congregations back in New Jersey, and he received a telephone call out of the blue. The pastor at First Lutheran in Longview, Texas, was on the phone, and he called Joel to let him know that he was going to be retiring in the coming year. And when he retired, he wanted Joel to apply for the position there at First Lutheran in Longview. He thought Joel would be the perfect candidate to follow him because Joel had grown up in this congregation. The people were there, were wonderful people at First, and the congregation is a great congregation. Pastor Joel spent some time looking at it. They had just done a building program since he had been there, and they were looking for new ways to reach out in community. And it was a really intriguing possibility to think about going back home again, back to the congregation that had helped to raise you in the faith. And then the more and more that Pastor Joel thought about this possibility, the more and more Pastor Joel knew that this was never going to work out. Because all the people, or many of the people in the congregation, still remembered Pastor Joel when he was 5 and was running around the church. And when he was 10 and when he was running around the neighborhood. And when he was 15 and was running around town. Joel was Elliot's son, Michael and Kristen's little brother, and Kathy's baby boy. Joel knew that he would never be these people's pastor. When Jesus goes back to his hometown to preach, he finds he has the same problem. Jesus has just come off a powerful string of events in which God is working in and through him. Jesus had just raised a little girl from the dead. Jesus had stopped a woman who had been bleeding for 12 years. She touched Jesus and her bleeding stopped. It's not your everyday run-of-the-mill events there. People were clamoring to see Jesus, to touch him, to be healed by him, so much so that one set of friends had to make a hole in the roof to lower their friend down to Jesus because there were so many people surrounding Jesus. Jesus is amazing. He's a teacher, a healer, a forgiver. And so Jesus heads back home again, back to his hometown, to those who knew him and loved him best, knew him when he was growing up. He begins to preach in a local synagogue. And things don't quite go as expected. It says the people were astonished at his teachings. And then instead of being proud of the hometown boy and all that he's done, they start to question him. Who does he think he is teaching us? He isn't all that important. He's just a carpenter. He's not even a learned person. He didn't go to school. Why should he tell us what to do? Tell us about God? I mean, he's just Mary's son. Well, and you know, they're not even sure that Joseph is really his dad. Isn't that James's big brother, they say? Or I remember when Jesus did. And the stories go on and on. Jesus is no one of importance to them. They say familiarity breeds contempt, and Jesus was too familiar with the people of his hometown. I love this quote. Edwin Meese, who was an advisor for President Reagan a number of years ago, said, "An expert is someone who is more than 50 miles from home, has no responsibility for implementing the advice he gives, and shows slides." Well, you can see Jesus was not an expert because he had none of these qualifications. He is right at home. He's just James and Joseph and Judas and Simon's older brother. He is not anyone special, just ordinary. Just someone's brother. The people in Jesus' hometown missed out. Jesus was too familiar, too ordinary. just someone's brother, no one of importance. They couldn't believe that Jesus could be anything other than that. And because they could not believe, it says Jesus did no deeds of power there. The people, they didn't even take anyone to be healed by Jesus, because why would you take anybody to Jesus? He's not anybody important. You want to go to someone who's a professional when you're in need. Jesus was too common, too familiar, just a brother. How often do we as well, though, miss out on all that God is doing in and around us because it's too common or ordinary or familiar? We are often intrigued by the extraordinary, the unusual, the unexpected. Just last summer, I got a call from my dad. My dad calls. He doesn't have a lot of words sometimes, and so he says, "I'm just calling to let you know I got some reservations for us for August 21st, 2017. I have no idea what he's talking about. So in my ignorance, I say, "You got tickets for the whole family to go to Norway?" We had been talking about going back to Norway, where my family's ancestors were, to honor my great-grandmother and my grandmother and great-grandmother, and thought, that's what they finally did. They finally got a date for the trip to Norway. My dad said, "No, I got us reservations in Casper, Wyoming." This is not quite Norway. Still a bit confused, I say, "Casper?" My dad is exasperated with me at this point and says, "August 21st, 2017, there is a total eclipse of the sun, and the best place to see it is Casper, Wyoming. And I just got our entire family hotel rooms, the last three in Casper, Sonia, so that we can all go watch the total eclipse of the sun." Now you have to know, my dad and my family, because my dad loves planets and stars and eclipses, and many nights I was woken up in the middle of the night to go watch an eclipse of the moon. And so this is a once-in-a-lifetime event. A once-in-a-lifetime event to see a total eclipse of the sun, and he doesn't want us to miss out. And it is so rare and unusual, apparently, you have to purchase hotel rooms 2 years in advance if you want to go see this. Solar eclipses are rare and unusual. But just think, how many times have you watched that exact same sun rise and set? Every day the sun goes up. Every day the sun sets. It's just common. It's ordinary. It's not something that you call home about. "The sun set today, Dad!" But sometimes those sunrises and sunsets are even more beautiful and brilliant than the eclipse of the sun. Just don't tell my dad I said that. The challenge is that oftentimes these sunrises and sunsets are so common and ordinary and familiar that we get used to them and we miss out how amazing they are. Just look at this one. It's Lake Loveland, right here in our area. Look at the brilliance of what God does every day. The same is true in our lives, how God often works in our lives and in our world. It's often so common and so ordinary that we miss it. We're looking for the big miracles, the big healings, raising people from the dead, miraculous healings. But most of the time, God works in really simple, ordinary ways, common like sunrises and sunsets. God comes to people through people, ordinary people, familiar people. After Jesus leaves his hometown, it tells us that Jesus sent out his disciples two by two to go share the good news. And these disciples, these are just ordinary men going out, and they're actually not given anything to take with them. Ordinary travelers looking for a place to stay, a meal to eat. They have an extraordinary message that comes in a really ordinary package. They do have the ability to heal, it says, and cast out demons. But the challenge is that people have to welcome them to see that God could work through these ordinary disciples. And when they're welcomed in a town, they stay and they bring that power and that presence. But if they're not welcome, Jesus tells them to shake the dust off their feet and move on. There's no punishment for them not welcoming, no punishment for missing out on God in their midst. They just miss something amazing. Because God comes to people through people. And in our lives, God continues to come to people through people, many times in really ordinary ways. Taking a meal to someone who's sick or grieving. Just this last week, I heard from Polly Hansen that 40 members or people in our congregation mailed cards to Dallas and Polly Hansen, who celebrated their 70th wedding anniversary. They can't make it to church anymore, but the simple act, the ordinary act, of mailing a card was an extraordinary miracle for them. This week we heard that someone wants to give Rhonda Buck, who's healing slowly from surgery, a special gift to know that she is remembered, a bouquet from the congregation. And they didn't want to do it on their own, they wanted it to be from all of us. And so they invite us today. We have a card for you guys to sign to send a simple, ordinary prayer to someone from our community to let them know you're thinking of her and praying for her. It's small, ordinary gestures like sunrises and sunsets, and oftentimes they happen in such small ways that we miss them. We miss the ways that God is at work in us and through us and for us and with us because it's so ordinary. Jesus came back to his hometown and they dismissed him because he was just a brother. Just James and Joseph and Judas and Simon's brother, no one of importance. They use this comment to dismiss him. And yet it's a true comment. Jesus is a brother. Jesus is our brother. It's truly an amazing gift that we cannot even begin to imagine or understand, because through Jesus' life and death and resurrection, through our baptism into God and into Christ, we are made members of this family of God. Jesus leads the way for us to become a child of God, a brother or sister with him. Jesus is our brother with God as our loving parent. That's rather amazing, actually, more amazing than we can ever begin to comprehend or understand. God comes to people through people. And so, look around. See all of the ordinary ways that God is coming to you, caring for you, his child. Ways that are so ordinary, you may oftentimes miss them. And also look around at all the ways God is calling you to care for your brothers and sisters in Christ in really what seems to be ordinary ways. They feel like no big deal to you, maybe, but they mean the world to someone else.